For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. The Manor House is as quiet as any place in Rock Hill. A few people rattle around getting food ready for the coming weekend service.
You know, grab and go. What the volunteers do, and they've already done it this morning.
These are Manor House's new digs, a size and scale upgrade from its location at Mount Prospect Baptist Church over on Black Street.
We have this 3,000 square feet of space that we really thought we were going to fill up, and eventually we will. It's just that the times require that we not bring people into the building, and we just got to do the best we can.
The tinge of weariness and frustration in Sandra Evans's voice is less evident in her body language, determined, almost relaxed, though she's anything but. Evans is the director of Manor House, a self-shopping-style food pantry that was primed to be a sort of small market when it moved into its unoccupied wing, where the Pathways Community Center and the city's homeless service agencies are based. Move-in day was April 4th.
Yeah, April 4th. Everything happened at the same time.
Everything, of course, refers to the collision of idealism and reality. By April 4th, there likely wasn't anyone left in South Carolina who hadn't heard the word coronavirus. Social distancing and public safety measures had largely kicked in, and agencies with a mission to feed those facing food insecurity had to figure out, real fast, how they were going to get meals to what they were sure was going to be a suddenly larger group of people.
Our regular model is self-shopping, and when clients can pick up what they want or what they would like to have, it kind of keeps their dignity, that they're not getting a bag of food shoved at them. Unfortunately, we have to rethink that philosophy.
In other words, visitors to Manor House no longer come inside to shop. They wait outside, in line, and receive an order of well-selected food that mostly comes from products rescued from supermarkets. For food pantries in the upstate and PD, the coronavirus pandemic has been less a curveball and more like Fred McMurray's wood-repellent baseball in It Happens Every Spring. Nothing is straightforward, nothing goes according to plan, and nothing anyone knew could have done anything to prevent this new normal, even if they had been batting 1,000 beforehand.
That's our storage building. That's dry storage, so it's not chilled or anything.
Across the state in Oconee County, Mike Harlan shows the food storage area at Golden Corner Food Pantry in Seneca. My visit is actually in the wake of a tornado that ripped down a few acres worth of trees, tore homes and commercial buildings apart, and killed a security guard at the Borg Warner plant, all less than a mile from here. The storms knocked out power at Golden Corner, but caused no other trouble at the pantry. There are cans and boxes of food stacked high and deep in one half of this complex. About a dozen volunteers, ranging from college age to retirement age, are in the other half. They're putting together bags of food for drive-through clients, which wasn't how it was supposed to go here.
And normally they would come in, they'd park their car, they'd come inside, we'd verify that their information hadn't changed. We have a database, you know, we keep everybody on file. And we also then provide them with some information to help them on things other than food. So if they need help paying a power bill, eyeglasses, medical work, GED, jobs, all those things, we have a resource sheet that's got all that on it. And we have our trained interviewers who go through that individually with people. With the drive-through process, we're just basically getting their name, have you been here before, and if you're in our system, that's all we need to know, and we give them their food.
The mechanics of day-to-day operations at food pantries is only one thing that the pandemic has changed for them. Who helps these operations has shifted as well.
Most of our volunteers are retired and fall within those risk groups, you know, so many of them, rightfully so, are not coming in.
This dynamic is nearly universal in food pantries and soup kitchens in the state. Many, like Golden Corner, operate during normal business hours on weekdays. So the only people who can typically offer any real help are people who are around during the day, like retirees. But with COVID-19 being so especially dangerous to people over 60, food pantries have watched their typical volunteer staffs virtually disappear as seniors ride out the pandemic at home.
But while those numbers have dwindled, we've had such support from other folks who don't find themselves working, who are affiliated with a local church and just want to help out.
This kind of great community effort, as Harlan calls it, is happening at food pantries across South Carolina. In Lancaster, it's happening at Hope, helping other people effectively. It's a full-scale social services agency where the sharp spike in unemployment numbers has made life extra busy.
For sure, we've expanded our food resources.
Becca Clausen is Hope's executive director. The agency is usually a resource center for people in temporary financial crisis. It helps people pay bills, find work. It still does, but with the pandemic's knack for honing life down to concerns about basic survival, Clausen says Hope's relatively small food pantry operation has become front and center.
I would say it's 4 to 5 times more people for food because that has not been our focus.
That's over 3 locations in Lancaster and Indian Land where seniors can get meals. There's a program for Lancaster school students to get free lunches as well. Like it did to Golden Corner, COVID stripped Hope of its usual army of senior volunteers, but brought in its place a lot of new ones.
We didn't have volunteers because, as you would imagine, all of our volunteers were seniors. And they all said, we got to go home. So as people were losing their jobs, they were saying, we're bored. The one place we can go is an essential place. And an essential place is going to be someplace that's serving the public. So we got a good amount of temporary volunteers.
Hope certainly needed it. Kristen Dixon, the agency's director of development and marketing.
We're all very tired. We have probably 70 volunteers on a regular basis that came in before COVID, and the majority of them are senior adults and had to stay home. So we went from that number down to a staff of 8, and then one of our staff is high risk and had to stay home, so we went down to 7, and then we started to climb back up with volunteers, like Becca was saying.
In a twist of irony, the agency that made its name helping people through financial setbacks is struggling through the weighty realities of running a larger operation in the face of a costly pandemic. Rebecca Clausen.
We're trying our best to do what we can, but it's just our cost to run the agency has doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Just found out we did not get our PPP in the first round of money, so really concerned about how payroll is going to play out right now. But there's always a way, somehow, maybe.
Clausen says that beyond the interest of new volunteers, one other good thing has happened for Hope because of this pandemic. It's forced the agency to throw out old ideas and start fresh. And that has taught staff to identify what works better the way they're doing it now.
We're going to be keeping some practices relating to our website, having resources available that reach beyond what we do and maybe what our local partner agencies do.
Susan Dolphin is Hope's assistant director.
We're going to keep practices in how we process our food and how we bring it in and how we bring it out. We've become quite the machine in being able to move a lot of food in and out of here.
Clausen says the drive-through for handing out food has proven surprisingly efficient and revealing about the clients as well. The staff gets the chance to chat with people at their cars and find out all manner of things, which is precisely the opposite of what has changed back at Manor House, where Sandra Evans says staff and volunteers feel they've lost the ability to chat with their regulars.
When we were in a different environment and everybody's here, we would have prayer with the clients. We don't get a chance to do that anymore. We don't get a chance to hug them. You know, sometimes people will come in and they're so, for the first time, you know, and I've had people just stand there and just start crying and say, I've never had to do this in my life. And you just say, look, it's going to be okay. We're here to help you. We'll make it real easy. And I miss that.
Like at Hope, the pandemic has given Manor House the chance to do something it never did before. In this case, educate clients about some of the fruits and vegetables they might not be familiar with.
You know, we'll get things from Sam's Club or Walmart, and it'll be the most gorgeous mangoes. Most of the people that come through here have never tasted a mango. They'll see it in the supermarket, but if you have a limited budget, are you going to go with bananas, something that you're familiar with? Or are you going to go with this strange little multicolored thing that looks like an egg, but it's not?
One other thing Manor House has benefited from because of this pandemic is the generosity of people, both new and familiar. Evan says farmers have brought sweet potatoes and buttermilk. At least one client has brought homemade masks for the staff to wear.
Humanity is amazing, and it's sad that it has taken this to make us realize just how important we are to each other. I just hope that we don't forget.
Evan says she's praying that people don't. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan in Rock Hill.